The content of this podcast should not be considered financial or investment advice. All interviews and discussions are opinions only, and the podcast has been created without taking into consideration the listener's financial objectives, financial situation, or needs. Listeners should obtain independent advice before making any financial decisions. Hi, this is Barry Fitzgerald, Garen Perra columnist for Stockhead. Welcome to another edition of the Explorers Podcast. We're off again to central New South Wales, where one of the biggest undeveloped silver deposits in the world is being advanced towards production by Silver Mines. Silver Mines trades under the code SVL or Sierra Victor Lima and last traded at 24 cents for a market cap of around 310 million. Now, I think we all know by now the company owns the Bowdens Silver Project, which is about 25 kilometres east of Mudgee or a 3.5 hour drive from Sydney. It's one of the world's largest undeveloped silver projects. Last time I had a look, it was standing at 275 million ounces of silver equivalent, remembering there's zinc and lead as part of the story there. Now, Silver Mines is both a development and exploration story, with Bowdens being moved through the planning process and the exploration upside from both Bowdens underground and the company's regional exploration interests in what is the eastern limb of the Lachlan Fold Belt. I'll just mention that the silver price is doing nicely at US $24.13 an ounce. That compares with the 2022 average of US $21 an ounce and the 2019 average of just $16 an ounce. We've got the company's managing director, Tony McClure, with us today to bring us up to speed on Bowdens and the emerging underground story there, plus the broader regional exploration efforts that are underway. So with that, g'day, Tony. Thanks for your time today.
Hi, Barry. Thanks for having me.
Now, Tony, one of the keys, obviously, to getting into production is the planning process, and New South Wales has a particular way of going around it. But I see that you've recently lodged your environmental impact statement, and the Planning Commission determination is in the second half of 2022 or thereabouts. So what can you tell us just about clearing this development hurdle?
Yeah, Barry. So we've lodged everything that's... going through the process at the moment. Our final lodgement, which was a week before last, was an update on the water balancing. We've had a significant gain there. We were originally supplying about 15% of our water through a pipeline that was coming down from Ulan Coalfields. Fortunately, we've been able to remove that pipeline, so we won't be building that. That's deferred. And we've been able to satisfy 100% of our water on site. A big part of that process has been, optimising recycling. We've got a paste thickener plant coming in, optimising surface water, and that's led to that outcome, which is it's not a headline matter in terms of the markets, whatever. But it's certainly beneficial for the project, where we're not relying on third parties for water, and at the same time, we're not competing against environmental flows or indeed agriculture. So that's been a big outcome for us. Water, as you know, is a big ticket item for mine developments, and so we have no issues with that. We're trying to make up the 15% water, but now that's all completely solved, and as I say, we now remove that pipeline. So that gives us a clear path through to approval. So we expect the department will be notifying us in the coming months that will be presented to the Independent Planning Commission for a final determination. So we're expecting that probably later in the second half of this year, but obviously the timing is entirely up to government.
Once that's in place, you would press the button on a development, or is there still some financing requirements to be put in place?
Yeah, well, we've got financing to do. We've got an optimisation process that will happen. So we'll be completing and updating our resource and reserve statement prior to kicking off the project. We expect that we'll be, by the end of next year, we'll be in the position to push the button on the development. And by that time, we'll probably be well into procurement and so forth.
And that all leads to first production expectation in late 24, early 25?
Yeah, something like that. So it's about an 18-month build. For the development, it's a relatively easy process. We don't have a massive pre-strip on the mine, so we indeed mineralisation straight from surface, and so the cost of waste is is very much minimalised, and that's why the first 3 years of production are very robust. We'll be producing about 6 million ounces of silver a year, and with very low strip ratios. As I say, the cost of waste is obviously minimised when you've got an ore body that outcrops from surface, and so very strong 3 year production profile, and obviously that bodes well at the moment with robust silver prices. That's I know we'll probably touch on that a bit later, but I think we've got a pretty good outlook in that regard. So we're looking forward to it, and obviously it's taken some time to get to this point, but we've got a fair process to get through in this state, and it's we're really comfortable that we're in the position we're in, and effectively we're pretty close to that green light.
Yeah, it would be a good point at this stage, I think, just to give listeners a feel for just how significant the project is in terms of, well, one, CapEx and likely production levels, and perhaps cash costs and all-in sustaining costs vis-a-vis the silver price.
The development cost is about 250 million Aussie, so 180 US. The production profile, as I mentioned, was first 3 years is around that 6 million ounce mark per annum. In our recent presentation, we got the details of the revenue profile and so forth. When we did our feasibility study, we were using a $20 silver price. Obviously, prices at the moment are 24, 25, recently as high as 26, 27. The upside case when you're using, say, a 25 US silver price is particularly robust. The first 3 years, and we focus on that because, and we'll go into a little bit of this in a moment, but the first 3 years are particularly robust. High production level, 6 million ounces. We've got cash costs during that period of less than 10 US dollars an ounce. We have a prolific few years. The current feasibility will be superseded in the future. When we talk about the underground operation, that'll sort of put that puzzle together. But we're looking at opening up the underground operation after year three. So we want to continue on with the high grade part of the mine. So that will supplement the medium grade of the current open cut development. The underground operation will be subject to further approvals. But the planning for that is advanced. So we're hoping that we're going to be able to maintain those production levels and maintain that cost profile going forward from year three and beyond.
Now, I mentioned there were four drilling rigs on site, 30,000 metre drilling program. Is that all at the project, or is that including some regional work as well?
No, that's all the Bowden. So, Barry, what we did, the outbreak of COVID, we were doing some regional work, small amount of drilling regionally. We decided to shrink that in, given what we're working on other people's freehold, and we decided to just concentrate on Bowdens, and we had a lot of work going on at Bowdens in any case. So, understandably, we scaled into Bowdens. Well, we in fact scaled up into Bowdens and moved up to four rigs, which we continue with. So we had a 30,000 metre program, which is basically now complete, and that's about to roll into another 30,000 metre program, and that's highlighting the success we have. But just to go back a bit, Barry, the reason why we're doing this amount of work is when we inherited the project some 5 years ago, the open cut area was reasonably well known. We did a lot of work on site in drilling in the first 8 months or so, and we added about 100 million ounces in to the resource profile, which was a very successful program. But the previous managers of the project didn't do a lot of work underneath that open cut area. So us as a team of geologists, and we were intrigued by the project. It's a very unusual project where there's nothing like it in Australia. Silver is not silver in Australia is a byproduct of gold mining or lead zinc mining or whatever. There's Cannington in central Queensland owned by South 32. But there's nothing outside of that. There's a few smaller operations, but nothing of this scale. So we wanted to understand why indeed it is there. So that early period, we did some deeper, little bit of deeper drilling, and that deeper drilling has now morphed into discovery of three ore bodies or deposits that sit directly underneath the open cut, and that's what we're continuing to drill out at the moment. So we're three zones is you know, northwest zone, the Aegean zone, are pretty much similar to what we see above in the open cut. So dominated in silver, small amount of zinc, less amount in lead. And there's another area which is a little bit deeper called the Bundara zone, a little bit further to the south as well, but still under the southern part of the open cut. And that's a little bit different. So we're seeing less silver in it, much higher zinc. We're drilling an area at the moment where we're seeing higher gold, and that's of obviously particular interest. And in some areas, indeed, we're seeing a bit of chalcopyrite in the system, so copper in the system. So it's what that is demonstrating is obviously we've been focused on the drill out of these three areas to morph into a resource assessment for those deeper areas. I think when we see different elements coming into the system, different mineralisation styles, it further demonstrates that this is a vast mineralised system that is still underexplored. Yes, yeah, we've got, as you mentioned before, 275 million ounces of silver equivalent close to surface. It's a very significant ore body by anyone's standards. But what we're drilling underneath is we're seeing the continuation of that mineralised system and morphing into other elements. So people often ask me, well, you know, the feasibility in the initial my development is for a 16-year development, and people ask what could it be, and I'm happy to say that this is one of those mining operations where it'll continue on, and it's likely to be, you know, still in development in 50 years' time. It's that sort of system. And we're particularly excited at the moment with the drilling. We announced some results on this just last week on some of the further gold results we're getting in the south and the east of the Bundara lens, and that is that's specifically the reason why the program is going to roll over to the next 30,000 metres. And as we move further south and further east, we expect to see greater tenure of gold as we move out of the silver leg zinc and into gold and copper mineralisation. So it's a big system.
Yeah, interesting, because I think we both know that for a long time, the Bowdens was considered interesting, but in the Lachlan Fold Belt, kind of dwarfed by the other big mineral systems in that part of the world. So, but now you've obviously got growing confidence that Bowdens should also be seen as potentially very large mineral system.
Yeah, indeed, and that's demonstrated. So, you know, some of this deeper drilling we're doing is down to sort of 400 metres. So, it's not deep. Some of the deeper holes we've done in the past have been down to sort of 600 metres, and we still see mineralisation at those sorts of depths. And but I think there's going to be a lot of work done. You know, if a major was running this project, they'd be probably spending $20 million in exploration a year. Having said that, we're pretty aggressive at the moment, and obviously we're very, very comfortable with the results we've had today. But at the moment, with four rigs on site, our exploration we're probably averaging about $1 million a month at the moment, and that's going to continue. And as I say, it's reflecting the results that we're returning.
Yeah, it would be interesting to have a silver mine with quote unquote potentially substantial base metal credits. Nothing wrong with zinc at the moment either. Record price this morning.
Yeah, well, some of the results we're getting up to sort of 10 plus percent zinc. So there's no shortage of that. The actual the volumetric amount of zinc in the system is vast. A lot of it's lower grade, but certainly the high grade areas are it's particularly attractive. Yes, we like to crow about gold and silver, But zinc is pretty attractive commodity as well, that's for sure.
So just on that underground potential, apparently you have a resource assessment and scoping study in train.
Two things will happen through the balance of this year. Is one, we're continuing on with the drill out of the those underground areas where we're about to call a cutoff to complete the initial resource assessment. So we expect that out in the next couple of months. We're also working on a scoping study. So ordinarily you do, you know, complete the result, the drill out, then you move into the resource assessment, and then, you know, on the success of that, you'll go into a scoping study. We've sort of gone about it the other way around, just due to the excitement from the results. So we've kicked off the scoping study, and we expect to have that, you know, sort of complete mid-year. So that, as I mentioned before, that's we're targeting for the opening up of a potential underground operation year three of the open cut. So see that continuation of grade coming into the mill and hopefully maintaining that 6 million ounce per annum, if not increasing it. So NTEC and GR Engineering out of WA are working on that scoping study, and as I say, we'll have that out mid-year. The other thing working on, and this is as part of the open cut development, is the enhancement and the upgrade of the resource assessment, and that'll move through into the ore reserve. So we've, through all this drilling that we've done, obviously that's been targeting deeper mineralisation, but a lot of that drilling is actually going through the close-to-surface mineralisation, and indeed has been expanding the close-to-surface mineralisation. So there'll be an upgrade to the open-cut resource and the ore reserve and feasibility prior to the end of this year, hopefully.
And the cash position still strong to get through all this work?
Yeah, in December was the last reporting date, so we had a little bit less than 30 million in the bank. We raised, we had a very successful raise last year, and the good thing about being comfortable in having a reasonable amount of funds for exploration, it brought in a lot of new owners of the company, so new shareholders coming in, and we had a particular target in North America. And as you can appreciate, silver is a little bit of a foreign commodity in Australia, and the North American market, which, you know, in a way controls South and Central America in terms of the main houses for silver being Mexico and Peru and elsewhere in North and Central America, South America. So it makes sense for us to expand our horizons and get greater ownership of the company out of North America, and so we saw a lot of that. So that's good for as we move forward. We want to be benchmarked to our North American peers. We're still substantially undervalued compared to our North American peers, and that'll change over time as we get, you know, through the approval process, of course. But indeed, greater ownership. North American markets will have us further benchmark to our peers. So we're looking forward to that.
And finally, I can't let you go without asking what's your outlook for silver?
Yeah, well, it's hard to put numbers on it, but I think, you know, the last 2 years or so has been prolific for silver. And, you know, we bought this project, the silver price was down, you know, $14 and below. And, you know, it's been double that. But I think at the moment is, you know, you look at some of the, and you're talking about North America, some of the North American commentary where some of the financial houses are calling silver over $30, some of the upside cases are $50 and beyond, US dollars. So, you know, that's roughly double from where we are now. And there's, you know, geopolitical issues, of course, that are creating some of that noise. But, you know, from our perspective, look at the fundamentals and the use of silver is, you know, it's not just jewelry and hoarding and it's got fundamental uses, and those fundamental uses are are wide-reaching, and the reason for that is silver is by far the best electrical conductor, over and above copper and others, and that's why we see it in most electronics. So, you know, think of a TV or a mobile phone, and, you know, the 5G market at the moment is very positive for silver. Electric vehicles, of course, is a big area for silver, and there's more silver in an electric vehicle than there is in a, you know, combustion engine vehicle. But more importantly is the solar market, and you know, about 10% of silver at the moment it goes into photovoltaic cells for solar power, and that's probably the key growth area for silver. So we've seen some, you know, recent analysis which is showing, you know, as we move forward into, you know, decarbonisation and so forth, 2040, 2050, we're seeing the amount of silver is required, particularly in photovoltaic cells, is roughly 2 to 3 times of current supply of silver. So the market for silver is looking phenomenal as we move out. So, you know, when you got, you know, the Biden administration came out last year and talked about 40% of their power is going to come from solar. You know, that's one country, it's one big country. But I think we see it here in Australia, we're seeing it in Europe, we're seeing it in the Middle East and whatever, where, you know, the solar developments are favoured over some of the other renewables. And that bodes excellently for silver going forward. So I think you know, some of those predictions are over $50 an ounce of silver is, I think that's probably going to come to pass sooner rather than later.
Yeah, well, I guess we are looking at a world where it's the electrification of everything, isn't it, really? And silver, you know, silver is a well placed to serve that.
Yeah, and the other aspect of silver is we see some of the other properties of silver, which are quite unusual, is silver is antibacterial. So most bacteria, when they touch silver, they're killed. So the medicinal applications for that are far-reaching. A lot of technologies, nanotechnologies going on in that area. We see things like water purification. So third world water purification is the operative element in there is silver. We see things like, you know, rapid antigen testing and something like the active ingredient of that is silver. For a lot of them. So that's been a growth market for a little while, but not that consumes a huge amount of silver, but you know, it's just the different technologies that are coming out. And yes, it's all mostly driven by, you know, silver's mostly driven by the its properties in transmitting electricity, but there's other areas in there which are quite fascinating as well. And it forms part of the picture. And as I mentioned before, it's you know, silver is you know, people imagine silver to be going to silverware and jewelry and so forth. Silver is actually the most wide used metal out of all the metals, not in a volumetric point. Obviously, you know, copper and nickel and so forth are much, much bigger, but from the amount of applications out there and the growing of those is quite significant, and it comes down to the properties. And there'll be some changes in the market as, you know, as the silver price goes up. There might be other elements come in, but the fact that it is by far the best electrical conductor is not about to see silver going away anytime soon.
There we go, folks. Interesting story. Talking about a company here that's got major re-rating milestones ahead of it near term. Obviously, the approvals process being one, but then the emerging underground story and the big polymetallic story too as well. And as Tony's just mentioned there, keep an eye on that silver price. Okay, Tony, well, thanks for your time today. Good luck with it all. Be watching with interest.
Thanks, Barry. Good talking.
Cheers.